Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Aegis Logistics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on this call, we have Mr. Raj Chandaria, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Murad Moledina, Chief Financial Officer. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page 2 of the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the company's website. With this, I now hand the call over to Mr. Raj Chandaria for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I'm joined by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Murad Moledina, and we will be presenting the Q4 and FY23 financial results, the various business updates, and the outlook for the full year of FY24. Before I move on to discussing the financial performance for the full year of 2023, I'm pleased to inform you that the board of directors has recommended a final dividend of rupees 1.25 per share for the face value of rupees 1 for the financial year ended March 2023. With this, the full year's dividend, including the three interim dividends already given during the year, works out to be 5.75 per share for the face value of 1 rupee share, i.e., that's 575% of the face value. I'd also like to draw your attention to our new vision and mission statement, which reflects the change in the global business environment. As you all know, India is not insulated from the problem of climate change, and India's international commitments have now put us firmly on a path to sustainability. As a company that is building and operating energy infrastructure, we believe we can play our part in moving India from using dirty fuels to cleaner fuels. Our core purpose or vision, therefore, is to support India's transition towards a more sustainable future. Our mission is to store and distribute bulk liquids and gases in a safe and sustainable manner. Now, our strategy, of course, remains consistent with this mission. In that regard, 2023 has been a very eventful year. In FY23, we delivered growth through a combination of mergers and acquisitions and organic growth. We have now embarked on the largest CapEx implementation in the history of the company, and I'm pleased to say that it's progressing well. I'll cover this in more detail later in the call. Just to highlight the financial numbers, we have once again delivered record-breaking performance in FY23. The revenues increased by 86% to 8,627 crores versus 4,631 crores on a consolidated basis. The EBITDA of rupees 804 crores was an increase of 37% compared to FY22 and the highest ever. The profit after tax was 511 crores, representing a growth of 33% over FY22. This resulted in an earnings per share of 13.19 rupees as compared to 10.19 rupees in FY22, which is an increase of 29%. I think you will agree with me that these results are consistent with our quarterly updates during the past year. It is the outcome of a successfully executed joint venture with Vopak, the acquisition of an additional 500,000 cubic meters of liquids capacity, a flawless ramp-up of the new Kandla LPG terminal, and a takeoff in the distribution business. Furthermore, as the new projects now being implemented are commissioned, we are confident that the positive momentum that we saw in FY23 will be sustained in FY24 and onwards. Now, before I move on to discuss specific business updates, let me hand over to Mr. Molledina to give you more details on the performance of each division. Murad, can I hand over to you?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. Both our divisions delivered record performance in the last year. Let's first take up Liquid Division. The revenue for FY23 was 417.9 crore, a lifetime high versus rupees 270 crores in FY22, that is an increase of 55%. The EBITDA for the year for Liquid rose to 271.5 crore versus 195 crore in the previous year, which is again an increase of 39%. Gas Division, revenues in FY23 was 8,209.2 crore versus 4,361 crores in FY22, a growth of 88% year on year. The increase in revenue was largely led by increasing volumes in the sourcing business, which increased by 66% in the last year. EBITDA for FY23 was 532.2 crore versus 390.2 crore in FY22, delivering a growth of 36%. We continue to see growth for gas division with increasing volumes in all subdivisions, sourcing, throughput and distribution. Let me give you the volume details of each. Throughput volumes. The LPG volume for Q4 FY23 handled at our four terminals, Mumbai, Haldia, Kandla and Pipavav, were 8.77 lakh metric tons versus 8.01 lakh metric tons in Q4 FY22. That is an increase of 9%. For the full year of FY23, we handled 33.3 lakh metric tons versus 28.6 lakh metric tons in FY22, an increase of 17%. This was despite lower volumes at Haldia on account of port taking up upgradation of both the jetties during the year where we handle LPG. The jetty at Pipavav has also now been upgraded to handle VLGC. The LPG rail gantry at Pipavav continues to perform well and is delivering considerable cost savings to our customers, which is driving improved volumes. Mumbai continues to operate at full capacity with IOC, BPC and HVC bringing imports. Kandla LPG terminal is also fully operational and has started to deliver on our expectations. Let's see distribution volumes, commercial and industrial. The commercial and industrial bulk segment handled 1.31 lakh metric tons in Q4 FY23 against 0.45 lakh metric tons in Q4 FY22, registering a growth of 193%. And for the full year FY23, the segment handled 4.74 lakh metric tons versus 1.38 lakh metric ton in FY22, an impressive growth of 243%. This is a lifetime record performance for this division and with stable margin. With Kandla LPG terminal operationally stabilized, we believe that the distribution business will continue to register impressive growth going forward. Auto gas sales were lower at 4,880 metric tons in Q4 versus 6,180 metric tons in Q4 a year earlier. However, for the full year FY23, the auto gas sales were 20,228 metric tons versus 21,700 metric tons in FY22. The margins in this business continue to remain stable. Sourcing volume. The sales volume of sourcing business in Q4 FY23 was 2.37 lakh metric tons versus 2.70 lakh metric tons in Q4 FY22. For the full year 23, the sourcing volumes were 8.95 lakh metric tons versus 5.56 lakh metric tons in FY22, a growth of 61%. As reported previously, we expect this increase in volumes to continue throughout the calendar year of 2023. With that, I would now like to hand over the line back to Mr. Rajchandra to give you an update on CapEx and outlook going forward. Mr. Rajchandra.
Thank you. okay, so now let me turn to the business updates for the last year and the outlook for the coming year and an update on our CapEx plan. For the liquid division, we expect our liquids business with its leading position in the key ports of India to perform well for FY24, especially considering the good economic growth in the country. The liquids expansion of 50,000 kiloliters at Haldia, which we refer to as H5, is now complete and fully commissioned. The additional 550,000 kiloliters acquired from Friends Group during the last year is now available for use for the full year of FY24. And our capacity expansions at Kochi of 50,000 kiloliters and Mangalore of 70,000 kiloliters will be commissioned towards the end of FY24. I'm really pleased to announce that we have now added JNPT to our necklace of terminals, which are currently building liquid tanks with a capacity of 110,000 kiloliters as a first step. We expect to commission this in mid-2024. So in summary, at the moment, we have just commissioned 50,000 kiloliters of liquid tankage and have an additional 230,000 kiloliters under construction, which will be fully available in FY25. As far as the gas division is concerned, during the last year, Pipavav Port completed its work on making the LPG jetty compliant for handling VLGCs, with commissioning now expected once the final permit has been received, which will further improve the competitiveness of Pipavav as a logistics hub. In the last year, we were in the process of connecting to the Kandla Gorakhpur LPG pipeline for both Pipavav and Kandla LPG terminals and hooking up to the Jamnagar Loni LPG pipeline for the Kandla terminal. So in future, these terminals will become critical and leading gateways for the feeding of the key LPG pipelines of India going north and into central India. The additional capacity of 3,000 metric tons of spheres at Pipavav is progressing well and expected to be commissioned in Q2. I'm also pleased to inform you that the construction of a new cryogenic LPG terminal at Pipavav with a capacity of 48,000 metric tons is underway. And I'm also excited to confirm that the commencement of work at Mangalore of what, when completed, will be India's largest cryogenic LPG terminal with a capacity of 80,000 metric tons. Let me repeat that. It will be India's largest cryogenic terminal with a capacity of 80,000 metric tons at Mangalore Port. So, in summary, an additional static capacity of 1,31,000 metric tons of static LPG terminaling capacity is currently under construction. We expect the distribution business, which performed well in FY23, to continue to grow. We continue to expand the footprint of our network of fuel stations and cylinder filling plants with the recent completion of an additional filling plant at Pipavav. Lastly, the Aegis Vopak joint venture, AVTL, has achieved a successful financial closure in the last fiscal year. Our management teams are now fully integrated and performing well. We are together constantly evaluating business opportunities and proposals and are confident that the combination of our strengths will lead to some interesting projects in the future. We are extremely well capitalized for future growth projects and will keep you updated as we make further progress in this direction. So in summary, all these developments position us very well to continue executing on our mission of storing and distributing bulk liquids and gases in a safe, sustainable manner. And in doing so, we remain confident to be able to deliver good financial results in FY24 as well. So with that, I conclude my formal remarks and I can now open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a very decent quarter. My first question is, I missed the numbers for the commercial and bulk volumes for 4Q FY23. So if you can repeat that first.
136,100 metric
tons. No, no. So I am saying within the distribution, what's the split of commercial and
industrial is 131,230 metric tons.
Okay. So the next question is, I am sure you would be aware that today the Saudi CP prices have been cut down quite sharply. So I guess more than $100 plus. And at the same time, what I understand is that Gujarat Gas has also have been cutting the this PNG prices also parallelly. So how is the dynamic shaping up, and what sort of distribution volumes, let's say, can we expect in the first half?
So I think, you know, in our last conference call in February, we had talked about this, and it's been a recurring theme that everybody has been questioning, that, you know, how do we compete with a pipe natural gas or CNG or and so on. And we've consistently said that, you know, these two fuels will continue to exist. We did have sort of an upsurge in the distribution volumes in the industrial segment as we opened up our Kandla terminal. And we cannot predict exactly how, you know, the prices will move. And but we are very confident that the position that we have of the industrial supplies, not only in Kandla terminal, but in Pipavav, Haldia, and to a limited extent from Mumbai, will always be now competitive with, you know, alternative fuel like natural gas. With the experience that we've got in the last year of supplying to industry, I think we are pretty confident. We are always competitive on the cylinder side, of course, which has been an old established business, and auto gas as well. But even on the bulk industrial supply, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to maintain the kind of volumes that we have had in the last financial year.
Sir, let me reword the question. What I meant was, like, with the cut in LPG prices that the Saudis have announced, so, like, if you have to factor that in today, so what would be the ballpark discount versus pipe natural gas today?
The differential, I think, remains versus LPG, I mean, propane versus natural gas, would range the differential in pricing. Would always be between 10 to 20%, will always be there. Propane would be cheaper to natural gas, but with this cut by Saudi in the CP, we expect to earn a bit more in the first half of the year.
So maybe 20% plus, I mean, after this sharp cut would be the right thing to do.
I will not be able to commit to that, but yes, it will be quite good. Yeah.
Sir, there was a somewhat of a dip in the liquids margin in the, this quarter. So, any reason for that?
Nothing specific. It would probably be because of the mix. So, you know, quarter to quarter, the mix of products stored in liquid terminals do change. depending on the demand supply situation. So no specific reason. It was perfectly our normal quarter, and we expect liquid to grow year on year with the capacities which are coming up and the kind of growth we are experiencing. I think that would be maintained. Probably the growth will be there in FY24 also.
I have just squeezing one last question. So for the Mangalore Pipavav, you have said that a new cryogenic facility is being added. Can you give us some idea? You get the static capacity. What should we consider as the annual capacity, like in a million ton types? That would be my last question.
I think for Pipavav, we are setting up this cryogenic terminal mostly to cater to the KGPL pipeline, which has already reserved 1.5 million tons to be throughputted out of Pipavav. Anything more than that would depend on how the demand, we experience in the area. As far as Mangalore is concerned, we have said that it would be somewhere around 4 million tons, the throughput capacity.
Okay, so that's all from my side. I'll come back again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Budhrani Group. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to get a sense on this JNPT liquid unit. What is the potential answer? The cryogenic unit that you have talked about, what is the revenue and profitability potential?
So let me just take up JNPT, and thank you for asking that question. JNPT is, of course, a major port, second port of Mumbai, or possibly the first port of Mumbai, and MBPT being the second port in terms of size and capacity. We have always felt that that was a strategically very important port for us to be involved in. So we have successfully been able to get a position there. As I said, we are starting off with phase one of 110,000 kiloliters of tankage, liquid tankage, and it will be commensurate with the profitability that we have observed in liquids in all the other ports. No significant difference. But I think, this is just the start. As we move on and we are able to sort of understand the market dynamics and so on, I'm sure we'll be putting more capacity in JNPT. So really excited about that. So what was your second question?
That is the cryogenic. So as we have said earlier, that Pipavav cryogenic is to cater to the KGPL pipeline throughput, of which 1.25 million is planned in the first phase and then increasing to 1.5 million out of Pipavav. So that would be the kind of throughput we expect from the Pipavav cryo terminal. As far as Mangalore cryo terminal, it would somewhat be in line with Kandla. So the projections, etc., what we have said for Kandla would also be for Mangalore cryo terminal.
So in terms of profitability, does the cryogenic have a higher profitability potential?
The cryo terminals have potential of growth in volumes. So you can do so much more in a cryo terminal, and it would last you that you can cater to the customer's growth for next 7-10 years. You would have enough capacity to be able to cater to the growth the customer would get in the business going forward. So cryo is therefore very, very important in that sense.
And also, I think the vast majority of ships now, large ships transporting gas, are all cryogenic ships. So this is the way the world is moving. The larger the ship, the lower the cost of freight.
Okay, sir. And so on the volume numbers, could you? There's a fall in autogas business. So what is it on account of? And secondly, can you give the breakup of the bulk gas and industrial distribution number. I think I missed that number. Q4 number.
Industrial commercial and industrial, I have said, and it is 131,230 tons for Q4. As far as auto LPG is concerned, we are working and we expect, even though the volume for Q4 were lower, I think we somehow managed almost the same for the year. But I can tell you the margins which come out of auto LPG are unaffected and we continue to earn what we did the previous year. We are working on increasing auto LPG volumes. There is so much to do in all the areas, whether it is logistics, sourcing, distribution, auto LPG. You will see going forward.
Okay, sir. And lastly, sir, any guidance on throughput volume for FY24?
No, we do not give guidance on throughput volumes. However, we maintain and we have said in the past that we see an EPS growth visibility for the year from 22 to 27 of CAGR of 25%. So we maintain that. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the LPG business, the non-retail part of the LPG business. So retail has grown in volumes by 3 times in this year. But when I look at non-retail, it has grown by 5%. So if you can just comment a little bit on, you know, like why is the growth number slightly lower and, you know, what is a sustainable number to look at in the non-retail part of the LPG business?
For throughput business, which you are saying, we have grown by 17% and not 5% over the previous year. That is number one. You probably are talking quarter on quarter. I'm not sure. And we expect this growth to be more or to grow more the next year, because you will see the full effect of Kandla the next year. And that will be good. I have always said in my interaction that you have to look at terminal by terminal. So if you look at Mumbai, it's already 100%. So there's nothing, very little scope to grow in Mumbai. So, but the capacity is still, you know, there to count. But growth would be very limited. As far as Kandla is concerned, it just started during the year and took time to stabilize and is now at a very healthy run rate. Pipava also is as per our expectation. Now, when you come to Haldia will have a natural growth of 10-15% year on year as the demand of the customer rises or grows year on year. So when you aggregate, you know, the effect of all of this may not necessarily come out by the percentage statistics of 17%. But we expect growth and we are adding static capacities which will give step up growth going forward. Also to the logistics division.
Right, sir. Right, so thanks for that detailed response. So second question is on the retail LPG business. That quarter on quarter there was some dip. So is there some seasonality or it is just like, you know, a temporary phenomenon? And you know, what are we, like, you know, have we explored more areas other than Morbi where, you know, this retail business can be grown in a similar fashion? That's it from my side.
Yeah, of course, now with the experience of Kandla terminal being available to, you know, to further expand into the distribution of LPG, we are definitely taking that same experience and trying to apply it to all the other LPG terminals. I would say Haldia, Mangalore, when it comes up, will have definitely good scope and so on. So I think, you know, we are definitely, we don't refer to retail anymore. We're just calling it the distribution business because it encompasses, you know, commercial small industries, you know, larger industries and auto gas. So we just put it all together and call it distribution. Yes, somebody had also asked the question about auto gas. There are, you know, ups and downs in this business. Sometimes, you know, we decide that, you know, there is more diversion of LPG from you know, some illegal activities going on in, and we don't can't really control that. So the demand does fluctuate for the for that auto gas section. But you know, as I said, we look at now really at a total of 15,000 tons. While it is very attractive margins, out of the total figure of what was the total volume for distribution business?
470.
Yeah, out of 470,000 tons. Auto gas was 20,000 tons. So while definitely it's an important business for us in terms of unit margins, it's not, you know, a little fluctuation here and there doesn't really bother us. We are focused on the big picture.
Right, sir. Sir, and this 470,000 tons of distribution business, can we treat this now as a base number and, you know, like build upon this?
Yeah, I think I would say yes. I think we can probably take that. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So just one question on Kandla. So can you help us understand the exit utilization of Kandla? Any sense on how it did in Q4?
Can you speak up a little bit? Didn't hear it well.
I was just checking on Kandla exit utilization. How the utilization rate of Kandla was in Q4?
Exit.
Utilization of Kandla.
It was at a run rate of more than 70,000 tons per month.
Okay, got it. And on JNPT, how does that work, sir? Did we take some land in JNPT where we can expand going ahead, or how is it in JNPT that we are planning to expand capacity?
Right now, we have one parcel of land on which we are, which we tendered for and we successfully won. I'm sure there will be other opportunities. As I said, as far as we are concerned, this is our first step. This is what we call phase one. And as more opportunities come up for acquisition...
Just to add here, I think please look at our history. The same thing happened in Kandla. We started with 140,000 kiloliters of liquid. If you look at Haldia, then Mangalore. So this is just like that, a beginning in a new major port. We are hopeful we would be able to repeat what we did in other ports in JNPT also.
Got it. Last question from my side, sir, on liquid section. So margins have improved last quarter. So is it right to assume that we still have potential to improve the margins in liquids as the product mix improve in Kandla? Is the assumption right there?
Yes, I think so. It all depends port to port and terminal to terminal what the product mix finally we land up with. So we remain extremely flexible. So what is important is to grow revenues and grow our how we fare in the industry. So we entire focus is on growing liquid revenue quarter on quarter, year on year, and I think we are well on course for that.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I did ask a couple of questions. The first one was on CapEx. In one of your slides, you have mentioned a number of 4,500 crores in the GB before that. Can you give us some color on what exactly is this? Does this include that 150 crores that you had earlier mentioned?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So 4,500 crore is the joint business plan of our JV with Vopak to be done over a period of 5 years, beginning from 2023 all the way up to 2027. Of which quite a few of those projects have already kicked off as we have been updating quarter on quarter.
This 4,500, would it be possible to give some breakup of business, for example, the cryogenic facility come under that? No.
Yeah, so like we said, this is a plan of 4,500 crore. And what we have announced are specific projects. I repeat, 48,000 metric tons of cryo, Mangalore 80,000 metric ton of cryo, and then 50,000 kiloliter of Haldia liquid, 70,000 kiloliter of Mangalore liquid, 50,000 kiloliter of Kochi liquid. So these are out of those which are already underway. And we will keep doing that over a period up to 2027 and achieve 4,500 crore of what we plan as new capex, greenfield, brownfield, acquisitions, whatever comes our way.
And that sort of a related question to that is that your debt levels have gone up sharply this year, right? There are lots. What in short-term, long-term put together is about 1,900 crores. Where do we see debt peaking out?
We have agreed with our joint venture partners that this 4,500 crore which we envisage in our plan for CapEx will be funded with a financial covenant of debt gearing of 0.6. But it doesn't mean it starts with 0.6 upfront. So it will be endeavored to reach 0.6 gearing so that there is a very healthy equity return for both the partners from these capex. These are long life capex with a lifespan of around 40 years. And they are they spin out quite a cash generation. And therefore, going for debt at a 0.6 financial gearing is quite healthy. So we will endeavor to do that, and it may not necessarily be at any particular point of time that you measure it. We are, on consolidated basis, still net debt negative. We have more cash than we have debt on consolidated level.
Sir, the other question was regarding your EBITDA margins. What should we consider as a stable level of EBITDA margin? The reason I'm asking this question is if I look at the last 8 quarters, it has come down from somewhere in the range of 15% in June 21 to about 9% in March 23. What's your sense of where should we see this EBITDA margins at?
Okay, it is statistics, very misleading. What you are comparing EBITDA with capital employed also includes cash on hand. So, and some evaluation under Ind AS of freehold land. But if you strip those out and take actual capex, then we have always said that infrastructure capex in our line of business would generate an EBITDA between 15 to 20%. So that is what you should consider current capex as well as going forward capex. That would be the EBITDA generation. But while you are applying EBITDA over the capital employed, you will have to actually take into account cash, etc., which are still not deployed. Because, you know, the capex have happened over a period of 18, 24 months. It just doesn't generate overnight into a cash-generating asset. So that is how you have
I think my question was different.
I think
you're referring to the ROC numbers, whereas I was referring to just the earnings before income tax, EBIT.
I got it wrong. So again, in case of revenue to EBITDA, you will have to understand that our sourcing business is a very low margin business, and you cannot put that, you cannot use that to work out the EBITDA percentage. So because my sourcing revenue has increased substantially by around 61%, you see that fall off from 15 to 9%. But the sourcing business is just $1 per ton earning business. It actually contributes very little to the EBITDA. So if you strip that out, the sourcing business revenue, and then compare the EBITDA, my gas EBITDA would come somewhere around 90% and liquid EBITDA would be somewhere around 65%.
And that's why we report EBITDA separately, segment-wise, because you know that enables you to calculate the margins, EBITDA margin as a percentage of top line, independently of each activity.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that. But I mean, from where you stand right now, do you expect sourcing to be an integral part of the business of ages?
Sourcing is, you know, while it's definitely not the most profitable business in terms of absolute numbers, it's a part of our overall strategy of being an integrated supplier of LPG, right, from the sourcing, shipping, all the way through to distribution. And it really gives us a, along with our joint venture partner, Itochu, it gives us a tremendous window into what's happening in the business. So I think it's fair to say that sourcing will always remain a part of this business as long as we are in the LPG business.
So just last clarification on that point. Can we expect sourcing to be pretty much the same sector revenue as it is now? Or will it drop down?
Sourcing has two components. One is the pricing of gas, which of course is not within our control. And the higher the price or the lower the price, it doesn't really affect our profitability, but it does affect the overall numbers, the top line, the revenue number. And the second part is the ability to secure on a tender basis the contracts on which we work very closely with our joint venture partners with Itochu. So, for example, year before last, we weren't successful and our sourcing volumes went down. But last year we were very successful, and we got, you know, and same with this year, we got significant business on the sourcing side. So, you know, as we get more and more strong in this in the India supply business, along with our joint venture partner Itochu, you know, it's our hope that we will win our fair share of tenders.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management is able to address questions from all participants in the question queue, please limit your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Ghazal Gupta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question. My first question is related to the logistics segment. So for this quarter, we did a volume of 877,000 versus 988,000 for the last quarter. So sir, just wanted to understand, why was there a decline in the logistics throughput volume? Because last quarter, when we had our discussion, then it was mentioned that we can assume a run rate of 1 million tons going forward. So just wanted to understand on that front.
3.33 million is what we did in this year. And we had said that for the next year, I don't think we give volume guidance as far as throughput is concerned. But we expect a growth in the next year for reasons we have already said earlier, that Kandla will be fully, we will be able to capture full value the next year. So we expect to be as close to 4 million as possible in the next year. Yes, that is possible. As far as quarter to quarter, there are always the factors which have to be taken into account, including year ending, inventory management by customer, etc. But there's not been any specific reason, for the volume for Q4 versus Q3. We are very comfortable and confident of the volumes for the next year also.
Okay. So how much growth can we expect in this particular segment in terms of volume for the next year?
We have already said we expect to be as close to 4 million as possible the next year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, one more question. So I missed the volume numbers for the distribution segment. So the total number was 136,000, out of which you said industrial was 131,230. What was the breakup for domestic and auto gas?
Autogas, we have already said in our call, 4,888 tons, and for commercial and industrial, we say together. We don't actually bifurcate between the two.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir, for taking my question.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dr. Amit Vora from the Homeopathic Clinic. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Sir, I would like to know these new capacities that we are adding in cryogenic and liquid is over and above the existing, just wanted clarity, is over and above the existing capacities for gas and liquid. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And so we have total 16,85,000 KL for liquids currently.
What is the
capacity that we are using right now? What is the scope of
all of it?
Are we using 10 lakh currently, or 12 lakh, or complete 16,85,000 currently?
All of it. We are using all of it.
All of it. And you said that another 2,30,000 is coming in next 1 or 1.5 years.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
In addition to 50,000 commissioned recently.
Okay. One more suggestion, sir. This time's PowerPoint presentation was little more not clear, as much as Q3, Q2 PowerPoint presentations were more clear. So your Q4 numbers were not given in this time's PowerPoint presentations.
Yes. What we will do is for Q1, Q2, Q3, we will focus on quarterly numbers. When it is year ending, we will focus on the whole year's numbers.
Just one last line, sir. Also, if possible, next presentations could include segment distributions of gas business. Like how much is revenue from a sourcing, distribution, and throughput, if that is possible.
We note your observation. We'll try.
Thank you so much, sir. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Piyush Sharma from Stingray Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just have one question. Can you tell us the status of the Kandla Gorakhpur LPG pipeline, please?
The work has already started at our manifold, at our premises, building of manifold in Pipava port. They have said that it should be operational or commissioned by end of 2024.
Oh, so it has got delayed from June, July 23 to the end of 24.
Yeah, these are cross-country pipelines, so always those things do happen.
I think the construction is undertaken by IHB, which is Indian Oil, Hindustan Petroleum and Bharat Petroleum, their consortium. And given our experience with the Mumbai Chakan pipeline, with all other pipelines, I think, these organizations do not work in the same way as the private sector works necessarily. So, I would temper one's expectations about the exact commissioning date.
Okay, got it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So this is more of a strategic question. So I understand that this 40-45 billion rupees would be spent till FY26. So in that case, as a result of this capex, so what sort of exit EBITDA or PAT that you are aspiring to, let's say in FY26 or 27?
Priyanka, we have already said that we expect a growth of 25% year on year on our EPS based on this fact that 4,500 crore of capex would come on stream. And as we have said, that we expect an EBITDA generation out of capex employed of 15-20%. So either way you work, I mean, you would get the same numbers.
Okay, so since you are deploying, let's say, 4,500 crores, so even if I take 20% of that, so you are saying that it can probably add something like 800-900 crores to the EBITDA in a steady state.
Yes, and it would be almost similar to the EPS growth guidance which we keep repeating, 25% CAGR growth from FY22 to FY27.
Also, this quarter, the other income was very high. So any particular reason for that?
That is, you know, the option valuation which happens at your end for the JV which we have done. So it is towards that.
Okay. And just squeezing in one last one from my side. Last time I recall in the February call, you have spoken about possibly two ammonia terminals that may be planned. So anything on that?
We are continuing to push on these green initiatives, on specifically on ammonia. There is you know, hectic activity going on, but I think at this point, you know, we're not ready to formally announce any specific projects, but we are working hard on this, and definitely we'll, you know, keep everybody informed the moment we have something concrete to report.
So maybe in 3 to 6 months, can we hear something on this front?
Possible. Yeah, I think we can, you know, definitely. Well, I think we can say that yes, within 6 months we will be coming back to you with some information.
Okay.
Priyankar, does that answer your question?
Yes. Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Budhrani Group. Please go ahead.
So three questions. So can you give the packed LPG, that is the cylinder volume for FY23, sir?
We said that we give commercial and industrial together, so we...
Okay. So second thing, from the CAPEX that you have said of 4,500 and of the project that you have announced, how much is utilized from this 4,500 crore?
We've just begun. So right now to say how much is done will be very difficult to guess.
Ballpark assumption as to how much will be utilized.
I think the projects which have been announced would be, you know, around 1500 to 1700 crore, which are underway.
Okay. And so this
around 40% of 4500 crore are underway.
Okay. Next, so this JNPT is under Aegis or under the JV?
It always begins with Aegis and then the joint venture decides whether they would want it in JV or not. They have that call.
So as far as this JNPT is considered, how is it?
Today, now we have just got the land, right? We have just started the work.
Right.
Give some time for the JV to decide.
Okay, so OPEC may decide in future, you are saying, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
okay.
Not
GoPAC.
I mean,
ABT. ABT, ABT is GoPAC, not GoPAC. So, the JV. And henceforth, for all the projects, that is how it works, right? The JV will decide. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedant Bagri from Clearview Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just one question on the Kandla terminal. What was the off? Is there any offtake by the national oil company from there, or what is your view going forward on offtake from them? Any near-term signs of a long-term contract or something?
Are you talking about offtake contracts, or just whether they use the terminal or not?
Yeah, but how much? What is the offtake by them currently, and any, you know, large contracts that you foresee from them in the future?
Well, all I can say is that they have now started using the terminal. There is no contracted long-term contracts or anything. I don't think
Just to add here, Kandla LPG terminal is an open-source LPG terminal, and currently both HPCL and BPCL are using the Kandla terminal for throughputing LPG in Kandla region.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Bhatter, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of broader questions. So the transition more into natural gas and the gas, basically natural gas infra makes inroads into the country.
Sorry to interrupt, the line for you is not very clear.
No.
Yeah, we're unable to hear you.
It is sounding a little muffled, sir. If you could please use the handset and speak.
Yeah, hello, is it better now?
This is much better. Please go ahead.
Yeah,
Yeah, so as we basically continue to make inroads into the natural gas infra into the country, do we have any plans of supporting that in future, like the natural gas business, transportation for that?
Right now, we are focused on our propane and LPG business. Of course, we will always look at opportunities if and when they arise. You know, LNG and natural gas is a sort of a natural, no pun intended, natural sort of extension. Yeah. But at the moment, there are no concrete plans for natural gas.
Okay. So basically, the kind of risk that I see, basically, as natural gas and LPG price kind of settles down to this range of, you know, 10-20% gap that you are in, that you are insinuating. So at that point of time, these industries won't be having a lot of advantage to use LPG, right? So I'm more concerned, like, will that be a major headwind for you?
No, are you saying that if we get into natural gas, we will be not competitive?
No,
because of...
basically, as the natural gas price kind of settled down, the gap between propane and LPG, you know, kind of settled down to say about 10% or 15%. So why will industries basically try to add capacity at that point of time, you know, for LPG, and instead of using the NG business? So won't that hurt your distribution business?
We are still not understood exactly what you are asking. What I can tell you is that please understand that in this country, the transition is from dirty fuel to clean fuel. In clean fuel basket, currently natural gas and propane or LPG, whatever you call it, are the clean fuel gas. And ammonia will add to it. So there is so much of dirty fuel like coal, furnace oil, briquettes, diesel, etc., which needs to transit out and clean fuel to transit in. The opportunity is so big that both, or in fact all three clean fuel, which is natural gas, LPG, as well as ammonia, would be growing at least for 15-20 years in our country, because the dirty fuels are going to transit out. So it's not whether NG or LPG, it's not between the clean fuel, it's between dirty fuel and clean fuel that you will see a transition.
Okay. One last question. So basically, as you know, we have largely covered all major ports across India right now, and how do we look at the growth path going forward in terms of adding capacity for the existing ports? Like, you have continuously said that your Mumbai port has been operating at full capacity right now for the last couple of quarters. So when I look at that, are you trying to add capacity over there, or like, what's the path for that? Like, what's the pace that you follow?
I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with your statement that we have covered all the major ports of India. We are definitely well positioned on the west coast of India, and we have one port where we are present on the east coast of India. So I think there's still more opportunity for us to enter into other ports.
Yes, and I think to add here, in addition, inland depots. So that's also, the country is so large geographically, and we need to move products with now GST as a common tax platform. We will see that also happening. So not necessarily to be at port only lifetime. So, you know, there is world beyond port also.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Thank you.
As we have no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Chandaria for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so just really I want to just summarize. The purpose of this call was, you know, to take stock of a very busy year that we've had, as I'm sure you appreciate. While it's, I'm sure everybody's interested in specific one particular quarter, we have to take a little longer term view. And 2023, if you look at the list of key events that happened, there are, you know, major things that have happened, including our joint venture and ramping up of Kandla Terminal and you know, many things that have happened. So I hope you will agree that it's been an excellent year, and I think we will be able to repeat, if not do better, but definitely repeat the performance that we had in 2023, FY23, in 2024. And I look forward to communicating with all of you as the year progresses. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aegis Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.